as we continue our worship and we give God praise for what he's doing, what he has done, and to just know and be reminded of the fact that he knows what's happening and that we can come to him at any time with anything and offer everything to him. In fact, he encourages us to do that. The scripture says, cast all your cares, all your burdens, all your needs, all your fears, all your doubts upon him. In fact, the most literal translation says, roll it onto him. And I believe the reason that that is the word that was used in the Greek is because sometimes we can't pick it up and hand it off. All we can do is get down on our hands and knees and drop the shoulder and let it just fall at his feet, into his hands, for his will to be done. It is so awesome to worship together, to come together for one purpose. Whether you've done this a lot or this is relatively new to you, whether you kind of know what's coming next, although I hope it's never quite that predictable, or whether you're sitting on pins and needles this morning going, what's coming next? I kind of like that. Just, I'll admit that to you. But my goal and my prayer, my plea this week, and Lord, let us truly worship you. We too often say worship is the music. No, we do music as a part of our worship. Our time of prayer is worship. Here's a shocker. Our giving is part of worship. Our gathering and greeting one another is part of worship. The message is part of worship, and when we leave here, we're to keep worshiping. Worship doesn't start at the threshold when you cross over coming in. In fact, if you don't like the way worship has gone, I can give you a simple secret to make it better. Worship throughout the week and pray for it before you get here. And your worship will be immensely better. If you have your Bibles or you're looking at a Bible on your devices or one under the chair in front of you, we're going to be in the book of Acts again. Acts chapter 7 and chapter 8, just a few verses. We're picking up at the end of chapter 7 and going into the first four verses of chapter 8. There was a book that our kids read when they were in elementary school. I want to say like third, fourth grade, but I could be wrong. That was a couple years ago when they were there. And I believe the title was Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. And it seems like it had some kid's name at the beginning of it, which I always thought that wasn't quite fair, because why call out that kid that he had a horrible, no good, very bad day? But I also thought, that really should be an adult book, shouldn't it? I mean, come on. How many horrible, really very bad days do elementary kids have? They get recess. We don't. Well, I suppose if you're retired, you could. But I thought of that in relation to this passage of Scripture. Because Stephen, beginning in chapter 6, all the way through chapter 7, Stephen's having what we would define as a horrible, no good, very bad day. Stephen spoke in front of the authorities because he was being called into question for following Christ, like we've been talking about for weeks now. In fact, what we're looking at this morning is we need to follow up on our following. And I'm going to finish, Lord willing, with this question. You don't need to get it on the screen because I'm going way out of order now. But the question we're going to finish with is, what is your following following Christ, what is your following producing? Stephen, as a result of following Christ and doing what the Lord was showing and telling and instructing and guiding him to do, got a chance to speak to all these people, but they didn't like what he had to say about Jesus. And it started out cordial, and then it turned into a horrible, no good, very bad day, humanly speaking. Because it says, just in front of the passage we're going to read, that at one point, what Stephen said ticked off those who were listening so much that they covered their ears, started screaming, and ran at him. Elementary school is a pretty good image of that, isn't it? We'll go back to that elementary book of the horrible, no good, very bad day. Only they didn't stop there. They ran at him, grabbed him, hauled him outside, and stoned him to death. That's kind of a bad day, humanly speaking. Because he was following Jesus. Ready to sign up? Is that going to happen to you? Not likely. But sometimes it feels that way, doesn't it? There are certain days, and not always on Mondays, when if we were writing a title for our day, it would be, "This is a horrible, no good, very bad day." And there are a couple of you right now muttering under your breath and going, "Try week or month." Stephen, though, did what he was asked to do. And the question overriding this morning as we look in this scripture is, what do you do when things don't go as you expected? Before we read the scripture, let me give you this synopsis. Stephen, when things didn't go as expected and didn't go as hoped for, Stephen cried out to God. That's a pretty good example. Stephen also reached out even to those who opposed him. In other words, he reached out to those who were tossing stones at him, although tossing's not the right word. They were hurling stones at him to his death. And as a result of all of that, there arose or started this riot of persecution against the church. But even on that horrible, no good, very bad note, the scripture we're going to read says that the other disciples went out and spread the word wherever they got scattered. But what do you do when things don't go as expected or planned? How many of you are planners? You got to have a list for everything. Well, God love you. I love that we have people like that. I want some people around me like that. I just don't want them to rub off on me too much. The lists I make are at the end of the day. I write down what I did and then say, "See, I accomplished my whole list." Makes me feel better. But when things don't go as expected, how do you respond? Look at this in the scripture with me, beginning in Acts chapter 7, verse 58. It says, "Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen," don't miss that, "as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against them.'" He was speaking about those who were stoning him. "And when he had said this, he fell asleep." And if you're not sure what that means, he died. And chapter 8 says, "And Saul," the one who's collecting the coats for everybody, "approved of his execution. And there arose that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation or mourning over him. But Saul was ravaging the church. Entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. What do you do when things don't go as expected? From Stephen's example and the example of the other apostles, we have a little formula here, I believe. Number one, when things don't go as expected, or you're having that horrible, no good, very bad day, seek God's direction. Verse 59 of chapter 7, they're stoning Stephen, they're yelling at him, they're being unfair, to say the least, to him, and he cries out to God. That's a great starting point. Cry out to God. Seek his direction. Lord, what do I do next? For Stephen, it was kind of obvious, but for most of us, it's not quite that obvious. We need to pray and ask God's direction. What would you have me do? Because I didn't think this was what was going to happen. Yesterday and today, in my memories on Facebook, I had put up prayer requests for people to be praying for a situation in Kenya. I guess it wasn't quite 15 years ago, maybe 12. Our kids had just gone there, and a riot broke out, and hostages, a whole bunch, were taken and killed in a popular shopping area that our kids frequented. And some of the families who were a part of the school that they were ministering in were there. And the news reports are not quite as clear coming out of Kenya as they are here. And I'd put up, please be praying. And then it appears that everybody we know and is connected are safe. But I also added, but we need to be praying for those families who have people not coming home. What do you do when it doesn't go as expected? Or what do you do when it goes horribly wrong? Start with looking to God. Start with seeking his direction. Lord, what would you have me to do? First of all, you need to seek his direction for your eternal address. Where are you going to spend all of eternity? This life seems kind of long at times, right? Certain days, certain weeks. Yesterday was a long day. While our men were having breakfast out at A's, I was having breakfast in Memphis, Tennessee with a different group of men. It was a long day. It was a good day. And our men's breakfast went great, and they had a really good attendance, so I'm not supposed to show up very often, evidently. But seek his direction, first of all, for your eternal address. Where will you spend eternity? That matters. That's what we're praying for, not just for ourselves, but for others. And then seek God's direction for your next steps. Lord, here's what's going on. This isn't what I expected. I didn't think this is what you wanted. What do I do next? It didn't go as planned. Now what? Too many times, we never say, now what? We just say, this stinks. And we sit. Stephen, it wasn't going as he planned. But the great news is, those who thought they were stifling the message, it actually multiplied it. Start by seeking God's direction. When things don't go as expected, then you need to seek and accept God's will. That wasn't what Stephen thought was happening. He believed when he was testifying, sharing, preaching in front of the court, that was what God wanted, and I believe it was. But But he didn't expect this. When the news isn't good from the doctor, it's not what we expect. When we get word that the plant's laying people off, that's not what we expect. When the car doesn't start in the morning and it's our only transportation, that's not what we expect. When family relationships fall apart, that's not what we expect. Seek his direction. Then seek to accept God's will. Our next steps. And we need to pray as Jesus prayed before he went to the cross. Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Because we are seeking God's will, not our own will. I don't know about you. Well, yeah, I think I do. I think you're a lot like me. That we have a tendency to pray that God would do our will instead of praying that we'll do his will. Hopefully, we hear and surrender our will to his. But I find I often start out by telling God, calling it prayer, telling God what I think he should do. By the way, I don't advise that. His will is always greater than mine. Seek to find out his will and to accept it. His will, not ours. And then a part of that is always going to include that we need to forgive as needed. Because when there is a horrible, no good, very bad day, when things don't go as expected, very likely some forgiveness is needed. Either us to someone or us hoping it comes from someone. Stephen was being stoned to death. And while that was happening, he said in 7 verse 60, Lord, do not hold this against them. If you're familiar with some of the scripture, that might sound familiar because Jesus on the cross said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Stephen, knowing these guys hated him, said, Father, forgive them. Forgiveness is an awesome idea until you have something to forgive. We love the concept of forgiveness when we're receiving it. We struggle when we need to give it. But quite often, when it's a horrible, no good, very bad day, there's some forgiveness needed, either to be given or received. Seek God's direction. Seek to accept his will, which includes forgiving as needed. And then also move forward. You're going, well, Stephen couldn't do that. Well, actually, he did. He went to his eternal reward. He was changing to his permanent address. But I'm speaking of what happened to the rest of the church, the other disciples, the other apostles. In chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, it says, there arose that day a great persecution against the church. They were all scattered, except the apostles, the kind of leadership team, stayed where they were to continue to lead. But verse 3, Saul was ravaging the church. Entering house after house. They had house churches as well as rather regular fellowship spaces that they gathered in. He was dragging them off and putting them in prison. But verse 4. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. They had to scatter because they were preaching the word. Stephen was murdered because he was preaching the word. And yet those who scattered, who had to scatter, went preaching the word. Think through that. No guarantees for them just because they went somewhere else that it was going to be okay. But their attitude was, God's will, not their will. And while I can, I'm going to tell others about Jesus. As I can, I'm going to tell others about Jesus. Wherever I can, I'm going to tell others about Jesus. We need to move forward from those horrible, no good, very bad days. We need to continue to move forward even when things don't go as expected. Even in the face of persecution. And even when we have great loss. We continue to move forward with God's will. I've told you before about my dad's statement after my mom died at age 59. Telling me, as a pastor, he was a pastor and so was I. He said, I'm about to find out if what I've told other people is true. And a few months later, I asked him. All I said was, Dad, what did you find out? Is it true? I didn't have to explain it. He said, yeah. It's not easy, but it's true. That Jesus loves you more than you can imagine. He sent his son to die on your behalf, rose again so that you and I could have life. And his Holy Spirit still abides and comforts, strengthens and guides. He said, it's true. Not always easy, but it's true. We need to make sure that whatever is happening, whether it's going as planned or not, whether it's an awesome day or a horrible, no good, very bad day, that we continue to move forward to what God's called us to do, individually and corporately. There's an awful lot of arguing going on about this thing coming up in November called an election. And great people on both sides are pointing fingers at each other. First of all, we need to stop that. Secondly, that isn't the eternal answer anyway. That is. Our hope is not in Washington, D.C. Our hope is not in Springfield. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. So no matter what happens, Jesus is still on the throne. God is still God, and we still need to move forward doing what he's called us to do. And lastly, we not only seek his direction, seek to accept his will, continue to move forward, we need to make sure as we move forward, we keep on serving, even on those horrible, no good, very bad days. Stephen served till the very end. Jesus on the cross led somebody to himself. And what's our excuse? We need to keep on serving, regardless of age. I've looked through this and read it a bunch of times. The word retire from serving Christ is nowhere to be found. I don't see any stones. I'll keep going. Even when it doesn't go as planned, we need to keep on serving. We need to keep on serving wherever we go, whenever we go, if we go. Keep on serving where we are until he has us somewhere else. That's what I love. You continue on into chapter 8, and you're going to see Philip, who the Lord literally picked up and moved to another spot. I would have loved that yesterday. That would have saved my tailbone a lot from Memphis back home. But wherever we are, whenever God moves us, that we keep on serving until then. Serving him with what he has given us. He hasn't given all of us the same. Not the exact same position in the call that we've all received. We need to keep on serving no matter what else is happening. Even if we're being distracted, even if we're being discouraged. In fact, you want to get out of discouragement, serve someone else. Because it takes the focus off you onto somebody else. And especially when we serve in Christ's name and let people know that's what it is, it really takes the attention off your stuff. Keep on serving. So I have a question that I already gave you. What is your following producing? Josh and the team's going to come up. We're going to repeat the song we sang earlier, The Stand. But we need to understand who we're following. We need to understand and ask, what are we doing? And we also need to ask, what is what we're doing producing? Is it making an impact and a change in us and in others? Because it's time for us to stand and be counted with and for Christ and to serve according to His call and His will, not our comfort. It's time to stand as we finish.